You're tuned in to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and this is Know Your States, Know Your Community, a limited series on this radio station where we're talking to one person from each of the 50 states who now resides somewhere up here in our listening area, getting to know the person who's from there and what it's like to be from such a place. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Jim Healy, as usual, and we'll be talking to two people today, one from Nebraska and one from Nevada. And our first guest is from the Cornhusker State, the Beef State, the 37th most populous state in the country, with home to just more than 2 million people. The 37th state in the Union, admitted after the Civil War on March 1st, 1867, our Nebraskan is Julie Perchinsky. Welcome, Julie. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here, Jack. And go red. Go big red. Jim, come on.
I was Notre Dame, and I lived in Nebraska for 8 years, and it was not easy. So, Julie, where in Nebraska were you born and raised?
Well, I was actually born in Yankton, South Dakota, which is about 30 miles from my family's farm in Nebraska. I grew up in Coleridge, Nebraska. That's where we went to school, where my parents went to school, where my nieces and nephews went to school. And it's a community of about 610 people, and we lived on a farm 6 miles south of Coleridge.
Okay, and how many years did you live there in Nebraska before you exited?
18.
18,
yes.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the geography, agricultural. What was it like to grow up, and I take it, one of the major Midwestern states?
It was a great, great childhood. The geography, we were right as the crow flies, about 30 miles from the Missouri River. So it had a lot of those rolling, my folks would call it wasteland, but they couldn't be farmed. These rolling hills just off of the farmlands that we were near. And but our farm was over the Ogallala Aquifer, which is this huge aquifer that goes from Canada all the way to Texas. And it was prime farmland. The topsoil is like somewhere between 18 and 20 feet deep. It's an amazing, amazing agriculture land.
So your family was farmers?
Yes, my dad was a farmer.
What did they grow?
At that time, they grew everything. They had hogs, he had cattle, he grew corn, he grew soybeans, he grew hay, he grew kids, all of the above.
And how large was the farm?
It started as about, I would say 600 acres, and then it fluctuated. He rented farmland and farmed for the older people, the retired people. That was something that a lot of the farmers continue to do, is they rent farmland and till it and grow it and share the profit or pay a rent, either one.
Okay. And as a farm kid, did you have a favorite animal?
I tried not to get too attached to the animals because it wasn't a very long life for the poor things.
Okay. And how about a favorite crop? Did you love to run through the cornfields?
Oh my gosh.
Try to find me.
We spent a lot of time in the corn and bean fields. We had irrigation. We moved irrigation twice a day, six in the morning and six at night. We would move it like the pipe lengths were maybe 20 feet. We would move six pipe lengths ahead to the next stop and then put these big guns, hook these big guns up and go for half the day each location. And so we spent an enormous amount of time in the cornfields as kids. And we walked beans also, and we chopped out burrs and any kind of weeds that might be coming in. We didn't like weeds in Nebraska. We'd like to chop them out any chance we had.
Vicious.
Yeah. I didn't know you manually moved those huge sprinklers that irrigate so much of the farmland across the country, not just Nebraska.
Now, this is what they have now are the automatic. You don't move those.
Yeah.
These were guns that you would pull behind a tractor, and it was a big pipes came into it, steel pipes came into it, and it had a rubber pipe that went into the steel pipes, and as the gun moved, it moved itself, and we didn't have to move it twice a day. But as I grew up, it evolved to be less and less manual labor.
Yeah.
So it became easier and easier. Now they have the pivots that just go around that center point, and they hardly ever move those unless a tornado comes in and moves it.
Yeah. Where's the water pressure come from?
Electric. It's these huge pumps that pull the water up and push it out.
Huh.
Big electric bills back there.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Okay, what else? Life on the farm. How close were you to like your nearest neighbors?
Back then, just about every section of land had a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were a mile from probably five neighbors as the crow flies, and each farm had its section of land. And then as the farmers get bigger and bigger and bigger, the farms fall in disrepair, and a lot of the farms are gone. It's not like that anymore there.
Yeah.
It's all gone to big farmers.
Yeah. It's not, it was ongoing really throughout the 20th century, I think, and now it's reached this point.
Yes.
And there's hardly any family farmers left. But in your day, what's the social life then? Like among those five, do you ever, is that a community? The people who you're close to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a big community where we had long, long life friends with all the people that lived around us. And you have to remember, these people all grew up together. My parents and their siblings all grew up with our neighbors and their siblings. So everybody knew everybody. When the community we moved to, my great-grandfather was the Lutheran minister that was brought from Germany, that was recruited, I guess, from Germany in those days. So the Hefners, that's my maiden name, came down through the years in Coleridge. So it was full of a lot of cousins and second cousins and third cousins and eighth cousins and a lot of relation.
What'd you do for fun as a kid?
We played all sports. We were into all sports. The neatest thing, I was talking to the girlfriends about my memories of growing up, and the neat thing in Nebraska was that they would have town team, ball teams, and as the World Series is going on now, I'm thinking back to going to town Saturdays. You know, we lived on a farm. We didn't go to town during the summer. We hardly ever went to town in the summer except Saturday nights when there was a town team game. And we'd go and watch the older guys play ball. And these were the 20 to 30 and 40-year-olds. Some of the geezers would get out there too and still pitch or whatever. But they would play ball, and that was a really exciting thing on the farm. And it really bonded our communities in other ways other than just hanging, watching us kids. It was something that the adults were able to do and bonded the adults too. So that was a really fun thing we did in the summer.
Okay, we've talked about summer. How about winter?
Ooh, long winters.
Okay.
Winter was ferocious. It was nasty doing chores. You know, you'd get out there and you just had your insulated coveralls, your heavy coat, your big boots, your big gloves, and just run out and do whatever it was you needed to do and then get back in the house as quick as you could. But we were in sports, we were in music, we were in band, we were in plays. It was a very small school, so everyone was involved in everything. And it was there was always something happening in the schools.
How large was your graduating class?
25.
That's a pretty small school.
It was a small school.
Yeah. You're ahead of North Dakota. She had a graduating class of five.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah, that sounds like a rural school.
Yeah. Well, 25 is still a small school, but not quite that tiny. So you were obviously small enough to know everybody in your class. But what is the school like? Or where did you go to school? In Coleridge?
In Coleridge. Went to school in Coleridge where my folks went to school. Uh-huh. They graduated in college. You could go back through all the graduating
yearbooks
classes
and everything.
They had this thing on the wall that panned back to 1918 or what, 19. I think it was actually the turn of the century when the town became a town. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you go back and see all your aunts and uncles and grandparents, not grandparents. My grandparents didn't graduate there. They didn't graduate, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a long, long history of these same families coming up through the years.
You mentioned going back. Do you go back to Nebraska?
Oh, yes. My mom and
do you
my
have family
yes,
still there?
Yes. My sister owns the family farm, or she's buying the family farm. She mm-hmm. and her husband are pork producers. They're not called hog farmers anymore. They're pork producers. And so they have the farm now. And my brother lives on a little acreage on the farm. So he's in our family home. And then my sister farms the land.
Now that you have been away for a while, what's it like going back? What changes do you notice?
Oh, my gosh. So many. The school's closed. There's
oh, really?
Yeah, the they consolidate the towns.
Yeah,
you know, there's the towns are all 10 miles apart, 12 miles apart, and they've all consolidated. So they consolidated with a town about 6 miles away, but they still have some classes there. And I believe the junior high is still in our beautiful little school. But yeah, that is a very that's the lifeblood of a community. And losing that was very, very painful. My sister was on the school board, and they fought very hard to save it. Yes. But, you know, they just didn't have the kids. They just didn't have the population. People can't make a living there, although now people are living there and driving 30 miles to Yankton or 40 miles to Sioux City. Or, you know, that's nothing for people to drive for work, that far for work now. But through the 90s and 2000s and 10s and all that, there was no way to make, they couldn't make a living there, and they didn't stay there.
Hmm.
So it's sad, Jim. It's sad. It's sad in a way, although my family's still there, and they've done very well. They're, my one sister's a teacher, and my brother is a trucker, and then my sister is a farmer, farms the place, and my mom's there. And my one other brother is in Lincoln, so he's the big city boy.
Where the university
that's
is.
That's right. That's right.
Let's we'll come to Lincoln and Omaha in a bit, the two big cities in Nebraska. What about where you're from is kind of on the eastern side of the state?
Northeast.
Northeast.
It's up the northeastern corner of the state.
Yeah. And is that you're kind of you're characterizing a lot of that eastern part of the state, more or less. Your upbringing is kind of that's how it was for a lot of
people. I would say so. Families settled together.
Yeah,
you know, they brought their brothers and sisters to that area, and so it was a German, mostly German community. So that's kind of how they all settled. There's like a Wausau, which is a Viking community. They're the Vikings, and they're not too far from us. And you know, that different ethnic groups kind of
O'Neill, Nebraska.
O'Neill, there's another one.
Irish.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So they kind of like stayed together. Or it was family. It wasn't really exclusive or anything. It was just family
went towards tribal.
That about, is true, Jim. Tribal.
How about out west, the western part of Wyoming, when you get towards...
You mean Nebraska?
Nebraska, when you get towards Wyoming and when you get towards Colorado.
The Badlands?
Yeah. Is that...
They are some bad lands out there.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have to tell you about Arbor Day. Arbor Day started in Nebraska.
Nebraska City.
Nebraska City. And you know why it started? Mr. Sterling was a newspaper man. And he noticed all the wagons going past Nebraska. Nobody's stopping. Huh. And he's going, what the heck? This is a beautiful place. Why aren't you people stopping? And they said, what do you build a house with?
Yeah.
There's no trees. And so that's how Arbor Day started. He started encouraging people to grow trees. And he started funding tree growth and things like that.
Nebraska City is also known for apples.
Yes.
Delicious apples in the fall time.
Yeah. But you got farmland in the east and then kind of the Badlands out west.
The Badlands. Right? It's about, and ranching, there's a lot of ranching out there, a lot of cattle, a lot of the rodeos were in the middle of, like, Bancroft, Nebraska, right. Not Nebraska City, but Platte River, you know, the Platte River out there is all dry land and ranch land, mostly.
And Cabela's started in Nebraska.
That's right, at Shelby, Nebraska.
Yep.
Well, I didn't know that.
It's true.
Okay. See, I lived in Nebraska. I wasn't born or raised there, but I lived there for 8 years in Lincoln.
So. Yes. You know the highlights.
Yeah.
And Omaha was quite a place, too, you know, for jazz. And the whole music scene was amazing in Omaha, Kansas City. You know, all the, especially the black musicians toured up and down the Missouri River. And that was kind of a hot spot for early jazz.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the cities. Lincoln and Omaha. My brother went to school in Lincoln, too.
Okay.
He was there for 4 years. Oh. I never got to visit. I know.
It's a sweet little town.
I should have. Yeah.
Well, not little anymore.
Not so much. Yeah.
But the joke when I was there was that when the football stadium was filled, that was the third largest city in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think they've not had a sold-out game in I don't know how many years.
Yeah. Right. Now, at 18, where did you go?
University of Nebraska. I lied when I said I left Nebraska. I left Coleridge when I was 18, but I went for 3 years to the university.
And what was your experience from a small town?
Oh, my gosh. It was a new life. And I do have to tell you that when I was growing up there in Coleridge area, all we listened to was the AM radio. You know, that was my dad's thing. There was reports, you know, market reports, weather reports, football, baseball, basketball, everything on the AM radio until I found WOW out of Omaha, Nebraska, FM, when we discovered FM when I was in my preteens and thought I'd really, really found the cat's meow. And that kind of made me think, I probably want to go somewhere that has a little more variety.
Yeah.
A little more diversity. So when I went to Lincoln, I loved Lincoln. Every afternoon after I got done with my classes, I just walked all the way through downtown. I knew downtown intimately. I knew all the alleys. I was just so drawn to adventure and newness that it was really fun. Fun place. And then I was goofing around in college too, so I didn't take it too seriously when it cost $500 a semester to go to school. It was easy money.
Back in the old days.
Yeah, gosh.
Omaha, Nebraska. Did you spend any time there?
Not much. Yeah. Not that definitely was the big city.
Yeah.
I fly into Omaha now, and I'm surprised it's not that big of a city. The airport isn't that big. The getting around it, you know, it's all real organized, and I'm sure it's plenty big, but it's not like Chicago or any place like that.
Yeah. What do I guess I think of beef when I think of kind of Omaha, but maybe that's just because there's the Omaha Steak Company.
Well, you know, they used to have slaughter yards and auction houses all over Omaha, Lincoln. And I suppose they're still there somewhere, but that's not what it's known for anymore. Yeah. I'm sure that you can't help but eat beef every meal when you're there because it is so good.
Yeah.
I eat so much beef when I go back that I don't have to eat beef the whole rest of the year. It is so good.
Well, you could always, turn to your brother and sister family and your pork producers.
I eat a lot of pork back there too. That's pretty good as well.
One of the things that I'm always amazed by is when I used to live in Nebraska, driving across the state, it's a gradual uphill and that you don't realize that it's really hardly noticeable.
That's right.
That the elevation in the state from the east end to the west end. But talk about wide open spaces when you are away from Nebraska, what do you think about when you hear people, hi, I'm from Nebraska, and what do you find people thinking of Nebraska who haven't been there that might be a misconception?
Corn.
Okay.
Corn. Like That's all it is corn, which it a lot of it is corn. But the other thing is Nebraska has more miles of river than any state in the Union. They've got five major, and that's a good segue from your slope going up towards the mountains, mm-hmm. is all those rivers flow through Nebraska into the eventually Missouri or Mississippi or eventually probably the Missouri, most of them, but the mm-hmm. Platte River, the Loup River, the Niobrara River, the Missouri River.
And they are prairie land rivers.
Yes.
I mean, in the summer months, they get very shallow. I used to float the Loup River and to try to find a channel where you didn't have to get out and drag your boat or canoe. I have very... tell us about the shoulder seasons. We've talked about winter. We've talked about summer. What about spring and fall?
Well, fall has to be football. That was the big draw in the fall. It was late afternoons playing football in the yard or sports and everything else was happening. But I would have to say that's what I think of when I think of fall. Spring was, you know, graduation. So much of what we did and our recreation hinged on schools. You know, you would come to all the music programs would be in the spring. You'd be coming to the graduation part. You'd be, you know, running a little track, but that was not as a big of sports as like basketball and volleyball and football. But you'd be coming to the end of another year for the schools, so you'd be coming up to graduation, and that was spring. And then, of course, the farmers are out planting and picking in the spring and fall, but. That became so automated. And I was lucky to have two brothers. So the girls didn't have to go out and do a lot of the manual labor.
The sprinklers, moving the sprinklers around.
Well, everybody had to do that.
let's see. Cuisine. You mentioned beef and pork now. anything else you miss eating when you're out here?
Corn on the cob.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm. I was back home just a couple of weeks ago, and I had to laugh. I have a cousin who's just a couple years older than me, and he's a gardener, so we have that in common. We talk a lot about gardening, and he says, I grew some green beans, but, you know, I just never got in the habit of, you know, boiling them for 15 minutes to cook them, and I just didn't get in that habit. Just looked at him and said, Carrie, you don't boil green beans for 15 minutes. That's what they did there.
Uh-huh.
They overcooked all the vegetables terribly, even the corn on the cob.
Yeah.
My mom would go 20 minutes with corn on the cob, and you know, then it was just mush. You didn't even have to have teeth to eat it. So that was really funny to hear him say that. And you know, the things I've learned through gardening and cooking, that how much we all overcooked everything.
Yeah.
So no, not really. A lot of ice cream. We ate a lot of ice cream because the dairy.
Yeah.
You know, not too far away in Iowa is the Blue Bonnet factory, in probably 100 miles away, and so a lot of Blue Bonnet there, and a lot of good dairy foods. Mm-hmm. But I don't really miss, except the beef.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the beef.
Where's the beef?
Yeah. Where's the beef?
Did we? Let's see. We've gone. We're getting close to the end of our time here together, talking about Nebraska. What haven't we talked about? If anything,
Willacather Country,
Willacather,
Red Cloud, right. Nebraska.
That's right.
My Antonia and Death Comes to the Archbishop. Also, Ted Kooser, poet laureate of the United States in the aughts. And I think he's still alive in Nebraska, but incredible literary tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of, I can't think of her name. Is it not Tracy Chapman, but, I can't think of her name. Born in Omaha, modern musician. Anyway, a few musicians have come from Nebraska. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Maybe she'll come to me before the end of our talk.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
But a lot of high school musicians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Nobody's ringing a bell with me on that one, but I love the state.
Laura Lovett. No, Laura. Laura.
Love?
Is it Laura Love?
She's located in Seattle now.
I don't know, guys.
Okay, let's see. Sorry.
We got Connor Oberst of what, Bright
Eyes?
Yes,
no, yeah. Morning Bright.
Yeah.
Morning After, Morning, Bright Morning.
My Morning Jacket, maybe.
My Morning Jacket.
Oh, Bright Eyes. And, and maybe, is it possible Fred Astaire is from Omaha?
Oh, okay. Oh, Johnny Carson's from Norfolk, not hey, too far go. From where
Robert,
I grew up.
Robert Taylor, the actor.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Was Dick Cavett from Nebraska?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, he was definitely a Midwesterner. That's, yeah. I'm going to look this up.
Okay. I don't know about Dick Cavett. He's so debonair and urban.
Buffalo County, Nebraska.
No way.
Dick Cavett, yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember because they were both, Cavett and Carson, I think, were both Nebraskans. And then Letterman came on the scene and he was from Indiana.
I'll be darned. Mm-hmm.
That kind of talk show host favored a certain Midwestern style.
Well, check Laura Love. I think she grew up in Omaha. Mm-hmm.
Let me do that. I'll do Laura Love. And,
okay, I was so surprised. And that's when I really discovered
Lincoln.
How much.
I did it. Yeah.
Good.
She's from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Laura Love.
How many of those jazz music? She was from a jazz family. And then I discovered how many jazz musicians were part of that scene down there. And you know, live their life down there playing good music together. Oh, and one other thing I have to say, this is another thing I learned about Nebraska just a few years ago. North Platte, Nebraska is along the railroad going east to west there. And during World War II, all of the recruits, all the soldiers came from the East Coast past North Platte, Nebraska to go to basic training, whether it be Farragut or wherever they were going. And North Platte, they stopped at North Platte, Nebraska to do whatever they do. And the people of North Platte fed all those soldiers for like a year and a half. They fed them egg salad sandwiches and angel food cake every day. Hundreds of soldiers for over a year. It might have even been closer to 2 years. That entire town did that for the soldiers.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, I read that in a little magazine called Nebraska Land when I was home last time.
All right. Julie, thank you very much for coming in to tell us about Nebraska. I think that's it. We covered everything.